What is Christmas to you? Christmas is so many things to so many different people in our society. Maybe it's presents, maybe it's football, maybe it's just time with family. Maybe Christmas is a very difficult season for you for one reason or another. But ultimately we know that Christmas is about hope, isn't it? It's about peace. It's about joy and it's about love in the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And so that's our prayer for you this Christmas season, is that we would have the hope of Jesus in our hearts. As I shared a moment ago, Christmas can be a difficult season for a whole lot of people. Reminds me of a song that Merle Haggard wrote. I'm gonna bring us into a little bit of redneck culture today. Little Nashville, Middle Tennessee, redneck culture. If you're not from here, we're going to culture you today, okay? A little Merle Haggard right here. He wrote a song years ago called If We Make It Through December. That'll bless you, right? If we make it through December, and listen to the words. If we make it through December, everything's going to be all right, I know. It's the coldest time of winter, and I shiver when I see the falling snow. If we make it through December, got plans to be in a warmer town come summertime, maybe even California. If we make it through December, we'll be fine. Then the verse says this, got laid off down at the factory, and their timing is not the greatest in the world. Heaven knows I've been working hard. I want Christmas to be right for Daddy's girl. I don't mean to hate December. It's meant to be the happy time of year. But my little girl don't understand why Daddy can't afford no Christmas gift. That'll just encourage the fire out of you, won't it? I'm telling you it will. But interestingly enough, this is the attitude that a lot of people have about Christmas. Is, you know, how in the world am I going to get gifts for my children this Christmas season? A lot of folks struggling in our culture, in our society right now, aren't they? How am I going to pay my rent? You know, how am I going to put food on the table? You know, how is God going to redeem this circumstance? You know, if Christmas is all about hope and peace and joy and love, well, that's not what I'm feeling right now. Well, the good news is that the answer to all those questions is Christmas, isn't it? It is Jesus. And that's what we see in the New Testament, but especially today, Luke chapter 1. We're going to walk through the Gospel of Luke over the next 4 weeks. Multiple passages here. And in Luke chapter 1, today we're looking at the Christmas birth announcement to Mary, verses 26 through 38. Here Mary is just living her life. Minding her own business, doing her own thing. Teenager, by the way, most likely not more than 15 years old. And her life is completely turned upside down by this news that she would bring the Son of God into the world. But in this announcement from Gabriel to Mary, we see Christmas is the answer. Jesus is the answer. Whatever's going on in your world today, Jesus is the answer. Can I get an amen on that? And listen, America doesn't need a better president or better economy or all of these things, right, that we say we need. We ultimately need Jesus. And that's not just a cop-out or a Sunday school answer. That's for real. We need Jesus. And we need Christmas and what it means. And so, Luke chapter 1, verse 26, let's read together this birth announcement. Jesus is the answer. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and he said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." How many of you know that when you know Jesus, you're blessed and highly favored? Come on, somebody. Blessed and highly favored. Graced. The word favored here means you're graced. You've been graced, man, by God. And greetings, favored one. Lord's with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying. She tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. Why am I the favored one? What's this all about? And the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name." What's his name, church? Come on now. Jesus. Let's say it again. The name above every name. The name of Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Christmas is all about Jesus, isn't it? His name will be called Jesus. He will be great. Will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I have not known a man? I am a virgin." And the angel answered her and said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, and this is the only appropriate response today from us as well to Christmas and to Jesus himself. He says here, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Oh, Jesus, we worship you today. You are the answer for our marriages, our relationships, our finances, our health, but most importantly, our greatest need. You are the answer for eternal life. You are our Savior and our Lord. And we have no hope of being right with God except through you, Jesus. You came, took on flesh, dwelt among us, died for our sins, rose from the dead, so that if we will submit and surrender to you, we'll be forgiven and made right with you. And so, Jesus, today, be exalted in this place and draw us into your presence. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. How many of you believe today Jesus is the answer? Come on, church. Yeah, he's the answer. He's the answer. Jesus is what we need, not just in culture, society, as we say, but also personally today. I don't know what you're walking through today. You may be on the top of the mountain or under the mountain. You may be, man, excited, celebrating today. You may be struggling, discouraged, maybe even depressed today. But in the name of Jesus, in him, he's the answer. He gives us hope, strength, joy, and peace. He is the answer. And specifically in this passage, we see some things that he is the answer for. Before we talk about those, just in way of introduction, notice here, first of all, the powerful Christology in this passage. Let's get into a little bit of doctrine today. First of all, notice the virgin birth. Jesus was born of a virgin. He was not born of natural causes, just like you and I. He was born miraculously of heaven. And so that's imperative that we understand that and we hold that doctrine, that he was born of a virgin. Notice also, secondly here, the impeccability of Christ, or the sinlessness of Jesus. It says here, the angel says he will be unequivocally great and that he would be holy even from conception. So the scripture tells us that Jesus knew no sin, he had no sin, and he committed no sin. So anyone or any form of teaching that tries to tell you that somehow Jesus had some kind of sin in his life is aberrant, heretical doctrine. And so Jesus is our sinless Son of God. And that's the only way that he could be the Lamb of God for us, the sacrifice for our sins, is because he was God, sinless, came pure and holy sacrifice once for all time. So notice the virgin birth, the impeccability of Christ, but also notice the deity of Christ. He will be, it says here, the Son of the Most High, the Son of God. He will sit on the throne of his father David, direct messianic prophecy, saying he is the fulfillment of all that messianic prophecy in the Old Testament. And so it's clear here that Jesus is God. St. Nicholas, the original St. Nicholas, from where we get the legend of Santa Claus in our culture today. St. Nicholas was a bishop back in AD 200s and 300s. And in fact, he was a delegate at the famous Council of Nicaea in AD 325, where they were discussing the heresy of Arianism. They were talking about Trinitarianism. Is God three in one or is he not? And you had this guy named Arius, who was another bishop and delegate at this Council of Nicaea, who argued over and over and over for this statement that Jesus was not God, that he was an exalted being of God, but he was not fully 100% God. Well, St. Nicholas had his fill of Arius, so much so that he punched him right in the face. There's your Santa Claus for today. You ready for that? St. Nick, baby, deck the halls. It gives a whole new meaning to deck the halls, doesn't it? Hey, what's the moral of the story? Jesus is God. Somebody gonna get slapped by that doctrine. You know what I'm saying? If you think Jesus is anything other than God, just go ask Saint Nick, right? And more importantly, go to the Word of God. The Bible tells us Jesus is God. Our Mormon friends say, no, Jesus was born a man like you and I and became a God through good living. That is heretical doctrine. False doctrine. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus was just another good teacher, another good man. So does Islam. So does Hinduism. Hinduism says, yeah, let's just throw Jesus on the pantheon of gods. He's not the one true living God. We'll just kind of worship him as one of the many gods. No. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. He is the eternal Son of God. And our God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's where we get that famous Nicene Creed, right? It's from the Council of Nicaea there, and old St. Nick and all those saints there. And friends, listen to me. He is 100% God. So notice the Christology here. Also notice, obviously, the characters. We love to talk about the characters in the Christmas story, don't we? And specifically in this passage, we see Mary and we see Joseph, and especially Mary. These characters, unknown couple from an unimportant town. If you got a map of Israel back in Mary and Joseph's day, Jesus' day, Nazareth wouldn't even be a dot on that map. It was an insignificant place, unimportant town. And here you have an unwed teenage mother who would be cast away by her community, shunned by those that she loved, and thrown out, basically, as an abject failure, adulteress, fornicator in their mind. Why would Jesus come this way? You ever ask that question? Why in the world would God, the eternal Son of God, come into the world that way? Well, it's a beautiful picture of the ministry of God, isn't it? He's for the outcast. Come on, somebody. Psalm 34 says that he is near to the brokenhearted. He saves those crushed in spirit. Jesus, when he began his earthly ministry from the synagogue, declared that I have come. Isaiah, he declared that prophecy. I have come to bind up the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, to preach the gospel to the poor, and to proclaim and declare the year of the favor of God. And so it's a picture of his ministry. Today, if you feel like an outcast or you're not fit for religion, or maybe in the past you hadn't been welcome in the church and you don't fit the part, I got good news for you. Christmas is for you. And so is the gospel and the love of God. You're very much a part of it. Aren't you glad that God loves sinners like us? Come on, church. He does. Just good old fashioned sinners like us. That's what the gospel and Christmas is all about. So notice the Christology here. Notice the characters here, but notice his choice in coming as well. The Son of God, think about this for a minute. The Son of God came as a baby. Does that not blow your mind? Could he have come another way? Come on, church. Yeah. He could have chosen a different route. There's nothing that says that he couldn't have come some other way. But yet Jesus chose to come into this world as a child, as a baby, to take on flesh, leave heaven, come and somehow, some mysterious way, through the power of the Holy Spirit, be born through the womb of Mary and be the most vulnerable among us. A baby, a child, the most impressionable, although he was filled with the Holy Spirit, Son of God, never sinned, right? But you get my point, right? In the eyes of mankind, the most impressionable, the most vulnerable, the one in the most need of help and nurturing and all of these things. A baby. Why would he do that? Well, my first answer is I had no idea. But my second answer is, based upon the authority of God's word, what we do see is that he wanted to experience what we experience. Did you realize that? Hebrews chapter 4 says that he is a great high priest who can sympathize with our weakness because he's been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. And so therefore we have a great high priest. Today God understands what you're going through. And by the way, it's meant to be an experience. That's the whole idea. The Christian faith is not exposition. It's not education. We love to talk about education in the church, don't we? Man, we need to be educated and curriculum and teaching, and those things are important. But may we never forget that the gospel and Christmas and Jesus, this is not just about exposition. It's about experience. Knowing him intimately. Is he alive right now in heaven? Come on, church. Yeah. He went from the cradle to the cross, and then now he's wearing a crown, if you will, and he will wear a crown on this earth as king forever when he comes again. Cradle to cross to crown. That's Jesus, right? And he is meant to be experienced. When the Bible talks about knowing Jesus, it's the word gnosko in the Greek. It speaks of personal, intimate knowledge of him. So Christmas is meant to be an experience. Relationship with Jesus. This is not just information. This is a relationship with him. It's meant to be experienced. That's why he came. He had to take on flesh so he could die for our sins. That's a simple answer to it. But also he wanted to experience what we experience. Whatever you're going through today, God knows and understands what you're going through. The folks even around you in the room today may not fully understand what you're going through. We love to say that, right, man? I know what you're going through. Well, we really don't, do we? We get honest about it. I don't know what's going on in your heart and your mind today, whatever situation or circumstance you're walking through, but the good news is our God knows. He knows, and he cares. That's what Christmas is all about. He cares. He stepped into our mess, and he continues to step into our mess. That's what Christmas means. He steps into our stuff, even when we've blown it. And he says, look, I love you, and I came, and I died for you, and I got a plan for you, and come on, just trust me in this. That's not my best for your life, right? Or, hey, this difficulty you're walking through, this is not of your volition and not your choice. You know what? I've got a plan in this. And I'm with you in this. Christmas, he's in our stuff. He comes in and does life with us. And so that, listen, Christmas is all these things. And specifically in this passage, we see that Christmas is the answer for the questions of life. Specifically, there's some specific things here that he is the answer for. First of all, notice here, Jesus is the answer for our insecurity. Aren't you glad that though we all have doubts, fears, and worries, that Jesus steps in and gives us peace? Aren't you glad for that today, church? Yeah. He's the answer for our insecurity. Scripture says that Mary here was greatly troubled, afraid. It's interesting that the words greatly troubled here, this is the only time in the Greek it's used in the entire New Testament. This is a separate, heightened kind of anxiety and fear. Again, probably no more than 15 years old, angel shows up, oh favored one. I mean, she's on the brink of a panic attack, if you will. And I don't think I'm embellishing that too much this morning. It's a one-of-a-kind kind of anxiety and fear is the idea here. And so fear. Man, she was on the brink of this complete breakdown almost. She's thinking, more horror movie than Holy Move of God. Right? Angel shows up. She's thinking horror movie, not Holy Move of God here. Like, oh my goodness, I'm fixing to be judged for some reason, or what is happening here? But the angel Gabriel speaks and he says, do not be afraid, Mary, for you've found favor with God. Here's a good word today. You can be highly favored and greatly troubled at the same time. Does that encourage you today to know that? The Bible tells us, do not fear. It's a command. Don't be anxious. Don't worry. These are commands we have all throughout the Bible, hundreds of times. But the reason, one of the main reasons I believe that we have all these commands to not be afraid and don't be worried is because it's such a big thing for mankind, isn't it? Because it is such a ubiquitous struggle. All of us have fears and doubts and worries. And if you come in today with doubt and fear, maybe even questioning God for things going on in your life, man, the good news is God knows and He understands, and that's a part of our existence. Trouble and anxiety and fear comes, but you can be highly favored and greatly troubled at the same time. But what God wants us to do is turn that fear into faith. And we say that often, but what does that mean? Faith, this is good. Faith is not the absence of fear. Faith is not the absence of doubt or worry in your life. Faith is looking fear in the face and declaring that fear doesn't have the final say over your life. Come on, somebody. Let me say that again. Faith is not the absence of fear in your life. We all have fears, doubts, struggles, and worries. Faith is not the absence of fear. It's looking your fears in the face and saying, you don't have final say over me. The circumstances around me do not define who I am or what's true about my life right now, whether it's sickness or relational struggles or sin in your own life. Man, Jesus took all that for us on the cross. By His stripes we are healed. He is our provider. He paid the penalty due our sin, and the power of sin's been broken now through the person of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. We can reckon ourselves dead to sin. All of these things. We have to declare what's true over our life based on what God's Word says. And so faith, listen, today Jesus is the answer for your insecurity. We've all got them. There's no need to come in here today, especially men, and act like we got it all together and we got it all figured out. No, let's just be honest. We're struggling right here. I don't know what to do in this situation. I'm not sure about this, man. I'm concerned about this. I'm worried about this. But Jesus today is the answer for all that insecurity. God gives us peace that passes all understanding. And ultimately, that's what we want in life, isn't it? It's the peace of God, the presence of God. So today, Jesus is the answer for our insecurity. Secondly here, we see also Jesus is the answer for our inadequacy. Our inadequacy. All of us are inadequate. If you feel like you're not strong enough, you're not smart enough, you don't know enough, I mean, yeah, that's true for all of us. The gospel tells us Jesus is enough. That's the answer. Christmas means God's enough, and He comes and steps into our stuff. Mary asks the question here, how? God, how is it possible that you're going to make this thing happen? I haven't known a man. How is it possible? And that's life, isn't it? Don't we ask that question often? Come on, church. Don't we ask that often? About the situations and circumstances we're walking through. I may not be birthing the Son of God literally into the world, but you get my point. Like, that's the question that we ask. Lord, how in the world, you ever ask this? Lord, how in the world are you going to make this happen? How in the world are you going to redeem this situation? Father, how in the world are we going to be able to walk through this difficult circumstance? You know, Lord, how does God put food on my table? How does God pay my rent? Like, how is God going to help me with my kid, raise my kids today? How is God going to help me in this relationship? And those are the questions that we ask in life. You know, how does all this Jesus stuff apply to my daily life? How is this possible? Well, He tells us here, first of all, it's through the presence of God. You see that? How did he say that she would birth the Son of God into the world? Well, he said the Holy Spirit would come and overshadow you. There's a lot of mystery to that. But Mary also, don't miss the picture, Mary is also a picture of salvation. We cannot save ourselves. It's the Holy Spirit of God who comes and convicts us and draws us and saves us. It's a beautiful picture there. So what is it that we need today? It's the person and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life, isn't it? The Holy Spirit's going to do it. Whatever you're walking through today, the Holy Spirit's going to do it. And by the way, the seed that you need is not physical, it's spiritual. So often when we have struggles, we go to the physical things. Well, I just need this physical thing. I need more money or a better job or, you know, a new relationship. Or man, just get me on that next vacation. I'll be fine. Or, you know, I mean, all this stuff, right? And we start to look to all these physical things. How do we fix it? How do we change it? Well, Christmas tells us that we can't. That's the whole point. That's why God came. And so the seed we need is not physical, it's spiritual. Today, it's not a physical need that you have. It's a spiritual need. It's the Holy Spirit of God within us. If we had needed an educator, God, or if we would have needed, information or teaching, God would have sent us an educator, right? If we would have needed better technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If we would have needed more money, God would have sent us an economist, right? If we would have needed better government, God would have sent us a politician, but he didn't. Our greatest need is what? Salvation. It's lostness. So God sent us a Savior. He sent us his own Son to die for our sins. But also notice here God's plan. This is good. It says here, he says, listen, and Elizabeth, who was a relative of Mary's, said, Elizabeth is going to walk through this with you. Elizabeth in her old age knows what you're going through. Now, Elizabeth was pregnant with John the Baptist. Also a miraculous thing, but it was seed of man, seed of woman. It was not virgin birth, but John the Baptist, she had been barren for years. It was a miraculous move of God. And John the Baptist is the great forerunner, right? In the spirit and testimony of Elijah who goes before Jesus. It tells the world, prepare ye the way of the Lord because here he comes. Here comes Jesus, right? And so she's pregnant with John the Baptist. Well, for Mary, how was the community treating her? Going to treat her? Now, right? Cast aside. Her own family would basically disown her. Here's an interesting thought. Why is Joseph in Nazareth? He got to go back to Bethlehem, Luke 2, to go, register for the census. Well, in those days, you stayed with your family and took on the family business when you became a man. Why is Joseph running from home? You ever thought about that? What are the issues here? Maybe Joseph's an outcast too. And God meets them there. And God tells Mary, says, listen, I've got someone else. This is good. Stay with me. I got someone else that's going to go through this with you. How many of you know today that whatever is headed your way, God's already made a way? Come on now. Whatever is headed your way, God's already made a way. There is an endless supply of grace and a plan already in place for whatever we face. Let me say that again. There is an endless supply of grace and a plan already in place for whatever you and I face. No matter what comes your way, how difficult the diagnosis, how hard the word or the message, no matter what comes in your life, God's already made a way. How many believe that today? Come on, testify. Yeah, he's already made a way. Like it says in Isaiah, he goes before us to make all the crooked paths straight. That's what he does. I still remember being on a mission trip in India. This was back in 2017. And on that mission trip, God woke me up in the middle of the night one night and said, everything's going to be okay. Didn't give me any details. And so I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm very anxious. What do you mean everything's going to be okay? I just had this sense that something bad possibly was going to happen or there's going to be some news come. And God was preparing me for that ahead of time. Everything's going to be okay. Well, the next morning, my pregnant wife calls me from here, pregnant with our fifth child, and all God's people said amen, right? And she calls me from home And she says, hey, I just found out Kaysen's got Down syndrome. And my wife and I, we hadn't experienced special needs in our family, in our home, or even our extended family. I mean, we hadn't grown up with that. We didn't know what to expect. Come on now, let's get real. We're like, okay, what do we do with this? Do we try to pray this away? Is this like a problem? Is this a, what do you do with this? But God is so good. In that moment, I'm on the other side of the world, literally. And my wife gets that news, and I was able to speak into her heart and life and say, that's why God woke me up last night in the middle of the night to tell me everything's going to be okay. And I was able to encourage my bride. Of course, now Kaysen's the greatest blessing ever was, right? Who knew? We didn't know. Those of you that have special needs kids or special needs siblings or family, you know. But God spoke. Listen, before it ever came about, there was an endless supply of grace and a plan already in place for that very thing we were about to face. The same is true in your life today. If you've just gotten bad news, or you're walking through a difficult time, especially unexpected, surprising, difficult time, listen to me. Hey, keep your spiritual eyes open. Just look around. Start looking for the hand of God. God's already put some stuff in place for you that you didn't even know was there for that purpose. Jesus is the answer for our inadequacy. For our inadequacy. But lastly this morning, Jesus is the answer for our insecurity. He's the answer for our inadequacy, but thirdly and lastly, he's the answer for impossibility. How many of you believe today God can do anything? Come on now. Nothing is too difficult for the Lord. And that's the word that the angel Gabriel finishes with Mary when he says, listen, nothing, how is this going to be? He says, listen, the Holy Spirit's going to come, but keep in mind, with God, nothing is impossible. And then Mary makes that declaration that is the response that God's calling us to today, where she says, okay, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And so today God is inviting us to do the same thing, to come with whatever we face, whatever we're facing right now in this season, whatever we'll face in life, to lay it all down and say, Lord, let it be. Whatever your will is, whatever you have for me, I may not fully understand it. It may be difficult. A difficult season. A difficult thing to walk through. But I know that you are good and your best and your reward and your joy is in it. And so today, God's inviting us just to say, okay, Lord, let it be. Whatever your will is for my life, let it be. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's podcast. So glad you could join us. If you've given your heart to Jesus, text HOPE JESUS, all one word, text HOPE JESUS to 77411. HOPE JESUS. 77411. And let me encourage you to subscribe to this podcast. If you hadn't done that already, make sure to hit that subscribe button and share it out. You never know whose life might be changed by simply sharing this message today. So share it out. Okay? And so thank you again for listening in. And we invite you to listen in with us next week.